Well, I've heard it said that there are three subjects that a gentleman should never discuss in public. One is politics, and to be fair, I know very little about that, so we're not going there this morning. One is religion, but I guess we're going to break that one most weeks. And the other is money. And I'm afraid I am going to talk about that this morning. Our theme for the week is generosity, and it would be very easy just to talk about generosity of our time and generosity with our talents. And those are very important things. But sometimes I think when we talk of those, we use it as an excuse not to talk about our money. Perhaps you might think that it is not appropriate for such a subject to be preached from the pulpit. But I'm not sure that that's right. Those who are far more clever than I am have been through the Gospels and recorded when various themes are mentioned. And it won't surprise you to know that the great theme of love is apparently mentioned 82 times. The other great theme of faith is mentioned 53 times. But what might surprise you more is that Jesus talks about money and treasure and wealth on 67 occasions. It seems to me that Jesus must have thought that it was an important topic, and so it is one that we should take seriously too. Indeed, he seems to have taken it for granted that we would be giving people. If we look a little bit further back in Matthew chapter 6, before the reading that we heard this morning, then we hear that in verse 2 he says, "When you give." Not if you give, but when you give. And there's a few things I think we need to understand when we think about what it is that we might give, especially our giving to the church. And the first is this. It's that we're not just funding an organization. This isn't just paying money to head office or to the golf club or to something else. Actually, when we give our money, it's because we want to see the world changed. It's because we want to help in the building of the kingdom of God in practical ways, here and now in our community. There's a saying that says that it is the local church which is the hope for the world. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Yes, the national church can do lots of campaigning, and it can do all sorts of things on a national scale, but actually often the world is changed in the nitty-gritty of the here and now in our localities. And so again, when we talk about money, the first thing I need to say is thank you. Thank you to all that you as members of this church family do, both in supporting the work of the gospel overseas through our mission partners, through the work that happens in our local community because of things that you do or things that you support through your giving, and of course things that happen in this church building and in the hall. Outreach events, yes, but also the money that you give that helps us to run these services, to support everything that happens through our church family. Support it in prayer, support it in worship, for they are the necessary foundations for all that we do. And there would be no greater shame than if those things couldn't happen. So we do have to cover our basic expenditure, and of course we must dream of doing things better and doing more things. Again, I say, it's not just because the PCC have asked or because we've had a memo from Church House that we need to give financially. But it's because it's rooted in God's word. Now, I guess that God, being God, the God of miracles, could make money grow on trees. But he doesn't. And he teaches us that faithful living means faithful giving as well. Now, before we look at a couple of points from today's Bible reading, I want us to consider some of the great overarching themes of Scripture. And the first is this: everything belongs to God. Everything is His, not ours. And we belong to a giving God, and so we should be a giving people. Quite often when our offertory comes forward, we don't hear the prayer that is said, but sometimes at our communion services, we do say the standard prayer that is part of the Church of England's liturgy. And it's based on King David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Yes, we might work hard for our salaries. Yes, it might be our talents that mean that we are well paid. But those talents come from God. The energy to work comes from God. It's something that we find hard to grasp in our Western world, where everything is about what we achieve and making it in our own strength. But that's not how the world really works. Everything comes from God. It's not ours. All those things that you may own, perhaps you're lucky enough to own a house, perhaps you're lucky enough to own a car, or the latest gadgets, whatever it may be, they're not really yours. Think about not your own family, but a different sort of family, this church family. Then perhaps it's easy to understand. This church is not our house, it's God's house. It doesn't belong to the PCC, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to those previous generations that came before us, those future generations that come after us, but most importantly, it belongs to God. Everything He gives us is His and should be used for His glory. So everything belongs to God, to the giving God, the God who gave everything we have, but also who gave of Himself for our salvation. Every time we celebrate communion, we remember that God gave Himself for us. And so we should respond to that great gift that we have. If we are saved daily, as we believe, then we should respond daily. What? Giving again, I asked in dismay. And must I keep giving and giving always? Oh no, said the angel, whose gaze pierced me through. Just stop when the Saviour stops giving to you. We give because it's God's, not ours. And we give because He gave everything for us. But how should we give? How much? In what way? To whom? Well, again, there are no easy answers. But we can perhaps give it serious thought. Some of you may know that a long time ago, I used to work for a bank. And that gives you certain privileges. I used to be able to go downstairs in our bank branch and stand in the vault amongst all this money. And if I stood there very quietly, sometimes you could hear the conversations that the money was having. Bear with me on this. So one day I was standing there and I overheard a £50 note talking to a £1 coin. And the £50 note was saying about all the great places it had been. It had been to the West End Theatre. It had been to a Premier League football match. It had been to some of the finest restaurants. On and on it went about how great its life was and the number of places that it went. And eventually it turned to the £1 coin and said, well, what about you? And the little coin thought for a while and said, well, I go to church a lot. I wonder whether that tells us something. I wonder whether sometimes when we just give what it is we have left over, not actually what we value the most. There's an Old Testament principle that says it should be first to the Lord, giving what is right, not just what is left. Giving as part of who we are, not just as something that we feel we ought to do. Giving freely. Not laughing all the way to the bank, but maybe laughing all the way from the bank. Again, a long time ago, I was a church treasurer for a little while. And not long after I'd taken up the role, one of the congregation members approached me and said, "I need to have a word. I want to make a donation." And this was a good thing, but I'd assume that it would be an extra £50 or £100 or something if we were lucky. But actually, this chap had just sold his business. And what none of us knew was that it was a very successful business that a big PLC had decided it wanted to buy. And he was going to become a very rich man. And he was a godly man. And he wanted to give a very substantial donation to the church. But then he said, "I just have two conditions." And my heart sank. I thought, oh no, we're going to have the new hall named after him or something, or he's going to insist we take up the red carpet and put a blue one down, or whatever it might be. But actually what he said was, "I have two conditions. No one must know that I gave the money, and I don't want any part in deciding how it's used." He understood what it meant to give freely. And that's what we should do. Just because we don't like some of the decisions the PCC might make, shouldn't stop us giving. Just because we wonder whether it's used entirely wisely, shouldn't stop us giving. We should give freely. And we should give sacrificially. To the point where we actually feel the loss, because then we might actually find the gain. How much? Well, probably not everything we have. There'd be no point in us all failing to support Food Bank anymore because we've become its customers. But it should be a serious amount. Perhaps it should be the biblical 10% tithe, or maybe the 5% that the Church of England sometimes talks about, presumably assuming that there'll be other giving to Christian causes as well. I can't tell you how much you should give of your money. Perhaps you are fortunate enough to be able to give much more than 10%. I can't tell you how much. But I can ask you to consider it seriously and prayerfully. Now, I know that sacrificial giving is where it gets hard. Martin Luther apparently said that there were three stages to conversion. Conversion of the mind, conversion of the heart, and only then conversion of the wallet. But I'm not sure that Jesus would agree with him. I don't know whether you noticed in verse 21 of the reading that we had that Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, we might expect that to be the other way around. If our hearts are in the right place, then we might be willing to give our money. But actually, Jesus says, no. If you give your money, then that will affect the state of your heart. Giving can actually be a means of growing our faith, stepping out in faith and finding out how it feels, finding out the blessings that come. Not just a duty that we think we have, but actually a means of grace. R.T. Kendall, the famous preacher, understood this. He was a fan of tithing, and he said, "Tithing does something for you spiritually. You will only ask, 'Why did I not start tithing sooner?' It does something for you that cannot be explained in terms of material return. It sets you on a course to be more than you have been. More of what God wants you to be." It's a hard message to take in. But actually, I wonder whether we do really understand it quite instinctively, quite well. Think of the people you like. Think of those generous people who seem to be somehow lighter freer, happier. Those are the people who are serving God, not money. There's a story about two brothers. One of them lived in the countryside where they'd grown up, and the other had moved to the big city. And the brother from the countryside went to visit his big brother in the city, and they did the daily commute into town, and they arrived at Waterloo Station and were walking across the bridge into the city of London. And suddenly the country brother stopped and said, "Listen to that. Did you hear that? I think that was a cricket in that tree. How on earth did that get there?" And his brother said, "Oh, don't be stupid. How can you hear something like that in all this hubbub around us?" And they carried on. A minute or so later, the boy from the countryside dipped in his pocket, took out a few coins, and dropped them on the pavement. And about 100 faces turned because they recognized the noise. What is it that we're tuned into? Are we tuned in to godly things or only into money? There is no greater reward than seeing the difference that our money can make in people's lives. And our giving, therefore, should be something not just that we do, but a reflection of who we are. Now, of course, God does not force us to give any more than he forces us to follow him. But he offers us the gift of a spirit of generosity. And he makes us a promise that great things will follow. One of my favorite Old Testament quotations comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it." Wow. What a great promise we are offered by our God. So may our God give us the grace and generosity to give. Amen.